You guys, when you own your awkward and you realize that it's going to create a lot of color to you and a lot of deeper connection to people, because then you realize you face planted. You guys, that's how it happens. So how do you create your own awkward this week? How do you step into it more frequently? If you can understand, it makes you deeply connect to people more powerfully, and it allows you then to serve more powerfully and give your gifts to the world. That'll help you step in.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back to another awesome episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. I am just overjoyed today to have another fellow podcast host here, Jennifer Watson. Jennifer is an intuitive leadership coach and a breakthrough speaker, among many other things, which you will hear about soon. Jennifer, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
I'm super excited, Andy, to be here. I've been interviewed on a lot of different podcasts, but what your podcast is about, I think, is so fun, insightful, and actually more powerful than people realize. So I'm excited and honored to be here and support your community.
Well, thank you. It really, I didn't realize, you know, that was on accident. I thought this would be a cool thing to do and it felt fun to me, but I didn't realize how different it was until I've had more people on who've been like you, hosting your own show and been guests on a lot of other shows. And I was like, this is the most different podcast I've been on. And I was like, well, that makes it kind of cool. So.
I love it. Well, I'm excited to delve in and just have fun with this. Thank you so much again for having me.
Oh, for sure. So in a little bit, you guys, we are going to talk to Jennifer and find out about all the amazing things she does. Before that, we're going to hear about what her awkward thing is. But right now, Jennifer, I got to know, what is the most positive thing you see going on in the world today?
You know, it's so interesting you asked me this question, because I've had a lot of different people that I have been able to speak to at speaking events or connect with through coaching. And I've seen a lot of people get really dismal about the future because they're seeing so many different things that are going on, quote, in the news and just in our own community. And I've been able to help them navigate to shift perspectives a little bit about that there's actually a lot of amazing things going on in this world. And I believe that there are people from all different aspects of life and all ages of life that are stepping in huge into their purpose, into giving their gifts to the world. And I think that's really offsetting a lot of things that, quote, we're seeing bad in this world. And one of the biggest examples I have, Andy, just thinking about right now, I literally was walking back from my pool last week and a bunch of kids came up to me that had like a wad of cash in their hands, and they started introducing their, quote, business about how they help take out trash and walk people's dogs in our neighborhood, and how this person does this and this person manages the money, and how excited they were to contribute to the community, and how many no's they got over the week and over the days, but how many yeses they got. And they were so positive about what they were bringing to the world and contribution. Here's kids. So that to me is a perfect example of people I'm seeing in my community in the world that are really making a difference with their gifts and contribution, no matter the environment, what's being brought to them, and how I have the honor as a speaker and coach to show people that there is opportunities and hope to change the world for good. So that's just a recent example.
I love that. And I love that it's like starting with kids, because when I was a kid, that was the thing. Like, we had to go make a buck if we wanted to buy an ice cream cone or something. It's like you had to go mow a lawn, sell something. The big thing that we were doing back then was recycling aluminum cans. But now, you know, you mentioned in there that there's so much dismal attitude out there because of so much that we're seeing, you know, in the news, in the whatever we surround ourselves with. And I'm a big proponent of being careful about what you put in your head, but what tip would you give people to kind of wade through that, to get into that positive mindset?
Yeah. Well, for one, everyone, what he just mentioned, there's two different things kind of from polar sides. You want to first and foremost, be careful how much you're spending time on any media platform. You guys, I don't care if it's TV, social media, for a variety of reasons. For one, a lot of on there is not truth or partial truth, and we fold into something that's not even fully truthful, creates a whole entourage of emotions, anxiety, depression, and it's giving also a skewed view of what's really out there. And whether it's true or not, by the way, you guys, I'm not saying to put your head in the sand. Even if it is true, part of it is true, you still want to limit how much you are on that, okay? Because it does a lot, not only to your brain, okay, about going into a safety fear mode when we want to be in, how can we use this kind of less than great advantage environment into an advantage environment. We want to make sure we're curtailing that for our mind, body, soul health, but also ability to change perspective by pulling in and managing how much we're watching that and pulling into something else that gives solutions and problem solving. So for that reason, you want to make sure that whatever flat platform you're getting news from, everyone, it's not a judgment, but knowing how to manage how much time you're on there and being careful about your sources, okay? Making sure that you're seeing truth out there, but the truth that is there, limiting that and look going into problem solving solution mode more of the time versus spending hours there. It does a lot to you biochemically in your brain, your body, to create more anxiety and depression when we're spending too much time there, especially when something's not fully true. The second is community, Andy, what you said, really moving yourself into a space of people that believe in solutions, problems, perspective shift, because there always is. Everybody, we all know this, since the beginning of time, every generation has gone through difficult things in our world, and we've seen people rise to the occasion. To be in a community that you can mastermind with and create opportunities for your maybe own struggle that you're navigating or world struggle creates momentum and acceleration for good to actually prevail. So really making sure you're managing and taking out some of this social media platform or media platforms. Is it totally true? Is it not? Even if it is, making sure that from a mind, body, soul wellness, you're limiting that and going into more problem solving mode. And then surrounding yourself with a community is really, really key. Those are the two biggest things to really move you forward in this space if you're feeling a lot of dismalness with the world around you.
I love that those are the two things that you point out, because they're also things that are very much within our control.
100%.
You know, I think a lot of times people get caught up in, oh, if you know, there's so much I can't fix, I can't change the world, I can't do this, these things are going on, they're bigger than life. But if we can control what we're surrounding ourselves with, both in the media and in the community, now we can create that positive space. And then that positive space can create good change together. And like you said, it's not about sticking your head in the sand. It doesn't mean ignore that there are things that could be better, but limit how much you're obsessing over it.
You know, as a practitioner, so that is my background, everybody. I'm a healer by trade, and now I get to help leaders heal as coaches at, you know, in their coaching space as well as on stage. But it's actually physiology, everyone. This is neurochemistry we're talking about. Many of you have probably heard law of attraction. When we put an idea, visualization in our head, we bring in people, places, things, opportunities, and solutions into our world. It's just like if you want a red Corvette and you want to save money for it, you start seeing red Corvettes everywhere, but you also start getting creative ideas dropped into your brain. Your brain seeks, everybody, what you put into it. I'm going to say that again. Your brain seeks what you put into it. So when you start being around different people and getting different solutions in your brain and visualizing what you desire to be different than where you're at, your brain literally magnetizes things toward you. It is truly physics. This is not fluff, everyone. This is why we talk about gratitude and perspective change and being in the right environments. I've literally seen many big problems of people I coach, and even in my own world, Andy, where it looked like I was going to face plant. And I mean, really tough situations. And I took a deep breath, learned to regulate my nervous system, learned to pull in the right things to my brain and body to create the changes I actually wanted to see that technically were already happening right here. You guys, if you want to get really quantum physics, okay, you can bring in things too to help you move out of the space of drudgery, you know, hard stuff, traumas, whatever it is, and move into a space, a step at a time, into epicness. I've seen amazing epic leaders come from really dismal situations, and you wonder how they did it. This is where it starts.
And I believe all of that. I something I work with my clients on too is you can create the world you want if you start creating the space in your head that you want. And like you said, it's neuroscience. physiologically, your body starts reacting to it and you just feel better. Like you can, I can choose, you know, I got a little cut on my finger the other day and I can sit here all day long and think about that cut and think about it still stings a little bit. It's there, it itches as it's healing. And that's all that's gonna, I'm gonna focus on that and obsess about it and think about how miserable my life is because I have that little bit of pain. Or I can start focusing on all the good things that I want to do and create. And all of a sudden I don't even notice it's there. And pretty soon it's healed. It's like, oh, when did that happen? I don't even remember because I was so busy focusing on the positive.
Yeah, and it's amazing, you guys, pain like he's talking about, or emotional pain, anxiety, fear about something, physical or emotional pain, it is just your body's way of communicating with you. It's just saying, give me a tool to move this shizzy right on out. I can't tell you how many times I tell people, we're not all going to have great days every day, or feeling we're getting out of bed every day, rock starring it. But there's tools out there that I teach a lot of my clients for my practitioner days, but also now for my coaching. How to move this stuff through. You guys, there's ways of moving emotions and pain through. You know, this has been since the beginning of time, from breath work and cognitive remapping and movement and intuitive moving and all these things that we don't even have to go through today, but they are out there for us to just manage and move through, everybody. They don't have to create a horrible life just because they're saying, right now, I don't feel good. We have a tendency to go there, right? Our brain was naturally meant, by the way, to go to negative. Okay. It's a safety mechanism. So when we understand that and not make it like, oh, here I am again, Debbie Downer, shaming yourself, just know all of us are meant to be in that space of
Right.
projection. It is our job as humans in our higher level of consciousness to use tools to shift you out. Just be like, hey there, buddy. I see you. You guys, I laugh at that now when I have pain and emotional discomfort. And I actually mean that, where I then use tools to say, I see you. I see what you're communicating. Now we're going to use some stuff to get you on out. It's so empowering, everybody, because no one is going to have a good day every day or start out in a good mood or have everything go well every day. And when you understand that and then know that we all have that and that we're all destined to kind of have a little bit of the brain that wants to go down that road, we just move it. We
Yeah.
have the industry to move it.
Love that. One of the things I've started to do for myself is, you know, I used to get in that negative headspace and then you start to speak in absolutes, like this is my life. This is it. It will always be this way. And now, you know, I have moved that conversation to I'm in a negative headspace right now, or I'm kind of vibrating at the wrong level. Like I'm on the wrong frequency right now. And I just need to focus some time getting into the right way of thinking. And that solves the problem that, you know, the thing that I might need to deal with might still be there, but all of a sudden it becomes this, you know what, I can tackle this because that's just one little pothole I have to step over so I don't fall in.
Yeah, oh, 100%, 100%. But that's okay. We're human. This is, you guys, this is what we're human. When we have grace for ourselves, we're constantly evolving and healing and trying again. But it's what makes us human. We are polar beings. This is how we learn from negative to positive, from good to bad, however you want to look at it. And we start looking at it as all good because it's part of the human experience. We get out of our own crap easier and faster.
Right.
Back to our highest potential. And that's what I'm about. It's one of my core values is for me and the people I connect with that I am bringing the highest version of myself every day. And it's not going to look the same every day. Some days it may look a little sublime. Other times it might look really epic. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, if I can just step in using the tools and bring the highest version of myself as the best I can, I know I had a good day.
And what I really love about what you just said is how it doesn't have to be the same every day. Like you don't have to run a marathon every day to be considered your best self for that day because we can't be at that level every single day of our lives. But if it's the best we can be, then that's what we got.
And I'm telling you, all you high performers out there and leaders, you better listen to what we just said. You cannot be knocking in the park every single day of the week. It's not humanly possible. What is possible is living to the highest version of yourself every day and enjoying the mastery, the craft of just elevating yourself every day.
I love that. That is so awesome. I could take these lessons from you all day long, but we got to put you on the spot now, Jennifer, because I know that this has been a journey for you. You're in a beautiful place. You're sharing this with people. There have to have been some awkward things along the way. What is your awkward that you've had to own?
You know, it's so funny when I thought about this, Andy, what awkward moments I've had. I'm like, I haven't had that many. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've had a lot of awkward moments. But it really made me reflect on not only what I made of those moments, but what I felt when I was going through this process, when you asked me this question, is I found that at those awkward moments, how much I learned, and also my superpowers that I've brought into my life at personally, professionally, and as the leader that I am. So I've actually have several, but the first, I want to go with the first one because I'm always a big believer, whatever the first is the one
Right.
that's going to align with your audience the most. But this was back actually in college. I was a high-level D1 track athlete, everyone, and I was an All-American, so I used to be pretty fast. And I was learning even at that age more about me as an athlete, as a leader on the team. I was one of the leaders on the team, and we would connect a lot with other leaders and other track athletes from the guys' team, you know, all the time. And I was really always interested in connecting with both male and female because it allowed us to just integrate and have fun with each other and communicate just like college students do. And what happened with this awkward moment, there was a gentleman that was on the men's track team that I was interested in. And from a very young age, I never had a problem like initiating questions with people, connecting with people first. I maybe was partly impatience, partly I was a risk taker, and I was okay with face planning. I literally have always been that way, everybody. And so I decided to initiate and ask this gentleman out. And I came to find out that he was actually engaged.
Oh, yeah, that's a little awkward.
A little awkward. And what happened, you guys, it was actually at the time, obviously, when I asked, he was actually very congenial about it. He actually responded because I asked right in front of him and he responded that he was engaged. But the way he handled everybody was not this like, you know, shock and awe and like thinking it was
Like, how
horrible because
dare
he
you? Or
knew, obviously, was very well aware and he knew me at that point. That I was not aware that he was engaged and that had not gotten around the track team yet. So I literally, of course, had this look of terror in my face. And he was so congenial, but how he handled it was like, no worries, you're a great catch. I'm sure you're gonna, you know, find another guy. And all this, and he was almost joking back in a really powerful way. And what made me realize is even though it was really awkward for me, how that moment made me continue to be willing to be in awkward moments because the way he made me feel safe and okay to be in that moment. So I was okay from that point on. I really want you guys to get this. That's why I bring this moment up, that I was willing to continue to take risks and continue to potentially have awkward moments because the way that he responded, and he was actually, go figure everyone, why I liked him, such an upstanding guy and one of the track captains on the other team, and was so supportive of an environment that could have gone downhill and him, you know, walk away. And it didn't end up that way. So even though I felt like bury my head right now, he made me feel so good about myself that it then took my superpower that I was revealed, like I'm going to continue stepping into awkward moments, risky moments, even if I could potentially face plant, because I know that I can actually learn and grow from it. Second point that I got from this awkward moment, you know, I probably need to research things a little bit more.
All right, maybe do a little more background check. I love that. But that's such a good point that there's lessons you can take out of it, first of all, on how to approach the next time. But what's so beautiful in that story is that you were rejected, but in such a way that empowered you to not be afraid to face rejection going forward.
Yes. And I think honestly, when I think about awkward moments, many of us have these awkward moments where we can laugh about it now, but we didn't have that response, or we maybe we did, and we remember them. Like when I was thinking about Andy, like these awkward moments, I've had awkward moments where it wasn't that way. But that my first awkward moment that I can remember that was really awkward for me, and I had that space, I truly believe because of his reaction, I was able to propel a superpower of mine that I've continued to use in business and my personal life and create success over something that could have been different. But I really encourage all of you to really step out and look at your awkward moments in that way, that maybe you've got to reveal the lesson, a superpower, and if it didn't go well, oh my gosh, what you can learn from it in a different way that can still catapult you to that next level.
I learned that. I have this saying I've started using when I step away from something that I didn't want to encounter necessarily in my day. It's like, well, now I know how to handle that situation, or at least I've learned this now. And it's, you know, things that can be the biggest life things where you're like, you get in a car wreck and maybe you've never had to deal with insurance or to deal with, you know, calling 911 at a scene or whatever the thing is. And you can walk away going, you know, I didn't want to have that accident today. However, now I know how to deal with this so I can help somebody else, or I can hopefully it doesn't happen again. But when I step into the next thing, I'm more prepared for life.
Oh, 100%. I mean, using that exact moment with that guy and how he made me feel safe in a really awkward moment. I'm pretty well known in my community because I do a lot of speaking engagements. And I actually ended up at a party with another person that knew the same person that was invited to. And I'd actually had fired her. I had let her go. And I remember we were in the same room and I just approached her. And I was very kind. I was like, how are you? You know, how are things going? It was very authentic. And I created also a safe space for her, and she responded in a really positive way. Not that we're sitting there being besties, everyone, but I remember this moment, and it allowed me to not only learn something and step into hard things and risk, but also I remember what he did and allowed me as a leader to also, in this particular situation, awkward moment, create a safe space, a positive reaction and action that allowed her to do the same. And it allowed me then to catapult my ability, which is another superpower of mine, of emotional intelligence, of reading people and how I create safety, and even in navigating tough or awkward conversations, how I started refining that craft ever since that moment in college, and how it came full circle many times over my life. But in this particular situation where it didn't necessarily end well, okay, but you guys, I was able to step into an environment and make an environment that was safe for both, pleasant for both, and be able to walk away and not be a big deal. So see how these awkward moments just kind of feed off each
And
other.
almost with some closure in that you don't have that wondering of when am I going to see that person again? And they
Us.
don't have to wonder, like, if I run in to Jennifer, how's it going to go? It's just neutralized.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, we're gonna have hard conversations. Think about, I really think this is kind of a really important point with awkward conversations or tough things that happen. Like, think about it, all the tough stuff that you have with your family and you end up being five and hugging it out. Why don't we do the same with awkward moments? We meet someone where we had an awkward moment with, we're going to keep being awkward with them if we see them again, or if a tough conversation. Like, we heal, we move forward, we have lessons. I think we make bigger deals of some of these awkward, tough moments. And that made me think of that too when I was thinking about my awkward moments, Andy. So I love what this stimulated for me, and I hope for your community that they don't have to stay awkward and stay hard. You learn from and move on, and you can step back in and say, hey, I mean, how many of us have ran into exes? Or how many of us, you know, is it always going to be awkward? Be like, you know what? I hope you're doing well, and that you can authentically mean it and move on, you know, and lessons learned from it.
Exactly. Now, I am curious because I have this theory that a lot of times in the moment we get through the conversation we need to have and people are gracious, and then we step away and we go home and we think, our head starts spinning on all the well, what ifs, or what if they were just being nice? How was it the next time you saw the guy?
Yeah.
Was it like, oh God, is it still going to be weird, or?
You know what's really fun, really interesting, everyone, is this goes back into mindset. You guys, we put so much up here and project our beliefs out into the world. And you guys, this goes across personal, professional, relational, money. This is why we need to take care of our mind and our body, take care of trauma and old beliefs and behaviors, because they purge out all the time if we're not careful. And what I mean by that is, when I followed up with that guy, because I saw him all the time, right? I was feeling more awkward about it for two or three times I would reconnect with him than he was, because he's like, whatever, water on the bridge. I think you're great, whatever, move on. And I had at the time feelings of self-worth issues and always having to perform because I was an athlete to get people's attention. So I was dealing with my own junk that I was projecting forward. Like, he's going to think I'm not great. He's going to think I'm weird and all this stuff. And he didn't think that about me at all, you guys. So I'm going to encourage you to continue to be open to reconnecting with these people, because I'm telling you, most of the time they're over it and you're the one that's not. Many, and again, personally, professionally, I've seen it across the board. It's usually our junk that's continuing to make it awkward. Does that make sense? So
Oh,
I would
definitely.
say yes, I was definitely at that point of a couple times, like, I feel kind of weird. And he would keep reassuring me. He's like, whatever, we're good. Like, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, why am I making a big deal? It's all my baggage and old beliefs purging forward, everybody. So if that's happening, just know maybe there's some things you need to move through to heal, and know that most people don't spend that much time thinking about you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Everybody's living their life, and we get really narcissistic about how we affect people, and everybody's thinking about us and half the tough stuff that you put on social, they haven't thought about, like after they see it for 5 seconds. You guys, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just the human condition. We have our life, our attention span is low. We have our own issues. Stop purging your projection of beliefs on people and realize that it's good to go.
Yeah. The fact that people aren't, you know, fixated on every moment of your life doesn't mean that they don't care about you. They right. just, you know, we're making a bigger deal of it. And I think for that reason too, the sooner we can step back into those situations, like let's say you ask the guy out on Saturday, maybe try and run into him on Monday. Because right. if the conversation in our head is what's making the bigger problem, then the shorter we can make that conversation, the better.
I love that you just said that, because awkward conversations and also tough conversations to me sometimes go hand in hand. And one of the things I teach as a leadership coach, because I have a lot of leaders that still struggle with navigating tough conversations, whether it be something they have to go through with their team that they're not sure they're going to absorb it well, or maybe fire someone like I did, that if you're willing to hit it head on and just, you know, just keep moving into that space with tools and solutions, maybe talking to a mentor of how to handle it, you guys, we will get rid of so much anxiety that comes with putting that off. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of us put so much in our head of how it's going to go, and we delay conversations. And then what happens, it steals our joy, our energy, our productivity, because we're persevering on it. Versus what you just said, step into the awkward. Like, hey, I'm sorry. I sent out an email. You guys have so many awkward moments. I sent out an email runs, mass email to the wrong group of email.
Oh, no.
They're wondering what the hey I was sending to them. Like, oh my gosh, it wasn't like a really bad thing or anything. It was just like, it was a totally wrong email. To like,
subject.
I owned it. I'm like, you guys, obviously I need to practice what I preach. I was doing too many things at once. Such a good learning moment. Let me tell you, I got responses back. Like, thank you for owning it. I wasn't trying to cover it up. I was like, okay. Awkward. So you guys, owning it and going back in and leaning in, you're going to survive. You're going to survive. And most likely you won't waste so much energy, time. You're going to get more productive and
really
realize life is short and we all screw it up. Stop making a big deal about small things. And hey, hint, 99.9% of things that we think are big, including awkward, hard moments, are not that big of a deal. You guys, not at all. Not at all.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I've always had to work on was not wanting to let people down. I just had this innate fear of not wanting to disappoint. And so then I would hold off on giving people a no, and then it would make it worse because now it's a no, you know, 3 weeks later. So now I have this philosophy I call the race to disappointment. So if I, you know, I'd rather just say I can't do this quicker and be like, no, that's not going to work, even if it's like right away or a day later or whatever, instead of trying to come up with this excuse. And it's so freeing because now I've given up. Instead of having 3 weeks of dwelling on it, maybe I had 2 days, or if I would have had 5 days, maybe it's an hour. And then the rest of my time is I've reclaimed.
I mean, think about that. And what we all say, I think that time is the most valuable commodity and most precious commodity over money, relationships, anything.
Yeah.
You could have had your time stolen from you. Instead, I love that race to disappointment. Get it done, everybody. And half the time, half the stuff that we think is going to happen doesn't happen. Even if it does, it doesn't kill us. It makes us stronger. We learn lessons. If we actually put, I love that phrase. I want to steal that from you, Andy, but race to disappointment. Like, I believe it can help with productivity, performance, just your overall life and not being miserable, everybody. We don't have a lot of time on this planet, you know, no matter if you live into your 80s, 90s, 100, and not to be dismal about that. Let's just live in a space where we can kind of get through the junk more quickly. So I love it. Race to disappointment. I love it.
Exactly. And the ironic thing is it's a little bit heavier of a sound than it is, because people really aren't as disappointed as I expect them to be. Because like you said, people aren't dwelling on our things as much as we think. It's like they ask, you say no, they find somebody else. But
you know what? You know, it's interesting you said that, because I'm a speaker, everybody, and I am constantly being asked to speak, and I'm putting in speaker applications. And I had a gentleman that basically said I was a shoo-in for this speaking conference, was going to pay us. We didn't realize he had to talk to the rest of his team to get a yes, yes, yes. And they didn't quite have in the budget. So he had to come back to me. And he was kind of, and I could tell because we were going to sign contract and everything. And I could just sense he was avoiding and something. I didn't know what it was. And he finally got on the phone and he claimed that he was so nervous about having this conversation, but this is what's happened. And I responded and I said, listen, it's not a big deal. This is a great learning moment for both of us, you know, mm-hmm. to learn to maybe ask better questions on both sides. Do you need to talk to other people? Do I need to talk to other people too? I'm like, not a big deal. Maybe it'll work out another time. What are some other opportunities that I can support your team down the road? He was in awe. And you guys, by the way, this is not about me being, oh, look at how nice it'd be. I'm saying I took in what he appeared. I was going to be a big disappointment for me, maybe not respond in a great way or maybe an adversarial way. And I was like, listen, this is what it is. Learning moment for you to just ask. It was a new position for him, a learning moment for me. I should have asked too. Is there anyone else I needed to connect with? I'm like, this is great. How can we look at supporting you down the road? He's already looking at other opportunities because he was so in awe with my response. He was expecting a different answer or that I'd be severely disappointed. I'm like, if I'm going to get that disappointed on one speaking gig because you had the misinformation, then that's reflective on me.
Yeah. You know,
so I love that you said that. What appeared to be maybe a tough conversation, an awkward conversation that he was kind of putting off, which is funny because I was like sensing that for some reason he was, and I was like, so I gave an opportunity for him to see that it was going to be okay. And I'm hoping that future that again, rates to disappointment and realize it's not usually going to be that big of a deal.
Right. And I truly believe we show who we are more when we don't get what we want or when we're rejected than when we're always getting things going the way we want, because it just shows our true colors so much more.
100%. I amen to that statement. I see that all the time. There's been times where, you know, a client that a prospective client didn't choose me and she was looking for something more or different. And I'm like, well, this person would be better for you. And she ended up sending referrals to me just because I was willing to send her to someone else and not be all Debbie Downer. I can't believe you didn't choose me, but I'm like, well, I want you to succeed. And if I'm not your pick, I mean, no judgment, let's get you someone that maybe you better align with and we'll go from there. She was in awe and like, great. And now she still supports me, you know, and I've never even coached her. So I agree with you when you react through a character of integrity of core values that people, I don't want to say always surprised by, but are like, wow, that was a great thing to do. And that shows a lot about who you are. That comes back around, everyone. So just know that in so many ways.
It does. And I am sometimes saddened when people are so surprised by that response, because I feel like that should always be the way we are. And when people are surprised, it's like, why are you not encountering that more? But the more we can do it, the better, and we can be, you know, we can help, you know, change the thought process for people.
Right.
And also in that example you gave with this speaking gig, that just looks to me just like the reverse situation of someone, you know, you asking someone out and them saying no, where this guy's having to come to you with this, oh, this is this awkward situation. And you're like, no, you know what? We're cool.
Right.
You know, I have other engagements, no pun intended.
Right. No, exactly. Exactly. But it's just, you guys, it's that whole thing. Like, you know, I teach so much about navigating tough conversations and in having empathy and how to use the right words to create alignment with what your truth is and sticking to it, but also creating safety where there's a good dialogue. And I'm such a big believer, you guys, the biggest thing, if you're like, I don't know if I'm emotionally intelligent, I can't communicate, role reversal. How would you want someone to say something to you if the roles were reversed? And that helps you go into a tough conversation saying things in a kinder, powerful, more aligned, creating safety space, role reversal. What would you want to have said to you, right? And that right there is a good question that allow you to navigate yourself, you know, tough or awkward conversations and or be the recipient, right? When you can kind of flip the script and see how you would want to react or how you want someone to respond or how you then would say something differently. And it just allows you to start practicing and just getting on the mat, everyone. Then also in awkward moments and tough conversations is not even a big deal. And avoiding them is not a big deal. You're racing. Like Andy said, to disappointment, you're racing to these conversations. You're racing to awkward. How many of us don't do things in our life, not only just out of fear it's not going to work out, but because we're like, what if it doesn't go well and it becomes awkward? I'm like, again, are you going to die?
Right.
And I mean, get extreme like that, you guys. Are you going to die from it? Or at least you're going to learn something from it. How many of us grew up, you know, selling things door to door and how awkward it was when some people would slam the door in your face and not even be nice about it? That was kind of awkward. So we learn from young ages, everyone. There's moments where you're going to feel weird and awkward. We learn that as children. So if we as adults can show them that it's okay, we can laugh about it and make lessons from it, then we don't have kids go inward. We have what happened at the beginning of at the end of my last week. These kids were getting some rude adults, everyone. you know, slamming doors, but others that weren't, and they had such a great perspective. Like, we're making money every day, and we're doing a service, even when they had awkward moments or times where the doors will slam in their face. Let me tell you, I got so much from them. I'm like, you guys, mad respect that you're that agent are using that. I'm like, who are your parents for one? They're teaching it's okay to have these moments and you keep going. Pleasant kids. And this is why we go back to the original thing you asked me. That's why I believe in our future. I believe no matter what's going on out there, that there are people that are taking on hard stuff, awkward stuff, and still shifting it into creating epicness and using their gifts to serve and be their highest version of themselves. So go, 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 awkward moments.
I love it. Well, Jennifer, you've mentioned a little bit about what you do as a speaker and a coach and being a practitioner. You bring such a wealth of perspective and experience to the world. Tell us a little bit about how people can support you, what you have going on, where do you want our efforts to go if people are picking where they're going to click, and just, you know, in case you guys weren't paying attention, there are links in the description here to all of Jennifer's social media, website, all that. Click those and follow. But how can have people best support you?
Yes, no, thank you for asking. You know, I have integrated so much of my, I was a healer, practitioner, and athlete by trade, and now a coach and speaker. And I'm super passionate now, Andy, about helping high performers, leaders, and entrepreneurs really step out of chaos back into creation, back into the things they were aligned to give to the world so they can create the impact and, yes, the money they want to make at accelerated rates. And I do that by integrating coaching and speaking, by doing events and speaking, and also doing coaching and really navigating wellness, mind, body, soul wellness, and optimizing that for them as leaders, navigating their unique leadership frequency, trait, and communication styles, and how to navigate tough conversations and really create productivity and performance for themselves and their team, and really sustain this acceleration of impact and profit no matter the environment. Because I believe that you can shift an environment to your favor. So as an intuitive leadership coach, I get the opportunity to do that with high-performing leaders and entrepreneurs every day, coaching, and yes, on stages. So if you're interested in connecting with me, I'm the most active on Instagram at the Jennifer Watson. I say the Jennifer Watson, and I answer all my own DMs. If you're interested in just connecting with me and learning more about me or about this podcast, you can connect with me there. I'm also at Jennifer Watson on LinkedIn, and you can also visit my website at jenniferwatsonleadership.com. But I'm here to help you guys create wellness, vitality, epic leadership, and high performance no matter the environment. Know that you can get there one step at a time and one awkward moment at a time.
I absolutely love that. And you know, when you started talking about that, you mentioned bringing people out of chaos. And I think that that is so critical, because how many times during our week do we sit there and feel like everything's in chaos? And I feel like I ebb and flow from, oh, I'm getting it together, to, wow, I'm back to chaos. I got to start, you know, balancing some things out. And then, you know,
It's so interesting, because a lot of high performers, leaders, business owners are always wanting to push themselves. What did we say at the beginning of the conversation about your highest version of self, that a lot of us want to get there and we avoid awkward stuff because we just want to keep pushing that. But what happens is, because we're in that moment of always pushing, we have these ebbs and flows of exhaustion, overwhelm, doubt, lack of worth, questioning things, to all of a sudden up here. And what I really want people to understand is, you don't have to be in this yo-yo. Okay, high performers, leaders, entrepreneurs that are bringing your impact to the world, we can make it more of a subtle bump. Okay, we can really truly step out of exhaustion, overwhelm, and chaos into creation consistently. And it starts with really creating mind, body, soul wellness and integrity there, and knowing you can keep it there during change and adversity, knowing how to tap into your unique superpowers, your unique frequency as a leader, and your unique communication, and knowing how to sustain high performance no matter the environment. Those three things, I believe, are the superpowers for all of you to get out of chaos and stay out. You guys, we get in the weeds all the time during the week, and we lose productivity because, what you said, we're circling down the drain. We're staying in our head and perseverating instead of stepping back in alignment into creation. And there's tools I use for a lot of leaders to get there. And when you know how to do that, you guys, that's the leaders that actually end up accelerating their profit and their business and their impact for good more profoundly, is knowing they have bad days, but knowing how to step back in and get into creation and not waddling in it. So it's such a super passion of mine, and I love to see leaders really move that because we need you in this world. We have a lot going on right now, and good needs to be invaginated, and I believe good can overcome any evil. So let's do this together, my friends. Let's stay in creation.
I love that. It's beautiful too that you call out that you have tools, because it is a thing to learn and to work through, and that it's not, you got to just wait around and figure out, oh, I maybe it'll come together, I'll have a good day versus a bad day. But if you use the tools, you can create what you need in life in order to be at your best performance every day.
100%. Amen to that statement.
Right. All right. Well, you have given us just a wealth of stuff. I feel like I could watch this every day just to get another tip from things that you've shared. But I'm going to ask you for one more thing before we go. What challenge would you give people this week on how they could own their awkward?
Oh, gosh. Oh, own your awkward. You guys, I would say this. I think the easiest way for you to own your awkward this week is know it actually adds a lot of color to you. It adds so much color to you beyond the lessons, beyond all the things that we just mentioned, all the ways you can use it. They are great campground fire stories, sitting around the fire stories. They make you tangible and human to other people because they're like, oh my gosh, I've done that before. I mean, you guys, when you own your awkward, and you realize that it's going to create a lot of color to you and a lot of deeper connection to people because you realize you face planted. You guys, that's how it happens. So, how do you create your own awkward this week? How do you step into it more frequently? If you can understand, it makes you deeply connect to people more powerfully, and it allows you then to serve more powerfully and give your gifts to the world. That'll help you step in, you guys, because no one wants perfection. Everybody likes a good campfire story of you face planting in awkward, right? It makes us connect. How many times in leadership, I've owned stuff where I'm like, you guys, I came in, I have no idea what I'm doing at this meeting. I need your help. You guys, it connected, it bonds people. It makes them go, wow, she's human. She needs our help. Wow, she's human. She's done what I've done. It creates connection and ultimate transformation for people, and ultimately your ability to create impact as you have your people coming to you. So own your awkward this week by understanding that when you do the awkward, it creates more color to you, which makes you feel human to people, which makes you feel more connected in them to you. Game over, game on, however you want to look at it, that you're going to be able to do the things you want to do, everybody. So know it's going to create a lot of deep connection with people, and that's what we're all about as humans.
That is just awkwardly perfect. That's the commercial right there. I love it.
I
Well,
love
Jennifer, thank you so very much for coming on here, for opening up, for sharing your stories. There's so much to learn from, and like you said, I feel like we could just talk about this for hours, because like you said, with all the different moments and all the different lessons that come from them, you just kind of open up that cavern of awkwardness.
Oh, 100%. Amen. Let everyone use this week awkward moments to catapult your life in very expected and unexpected ways.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, be sure that you go on to Jennifer's social media, especially Instagram, where she's most active. Give her a follow, like her stuff. You're going to learn so much. You're going to thank yourself later for taking that step today. And of course, as always, own your awkward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.